Welcome back, new you maniacs, here at the Spinner Rack at Season 5 of the Marvel New Universe Comics Podcast, the voice of the new universe. We're your hosts.
Andy, talking about DP7 number 29, and
Steven, with very little to do today.
We might almost call you dead weight.
Ouch. Yeah, there is no backup story. There are no official handbook pages. Just an extra long main today. The new universe was launched in 1986 as an imprint for Marvel Comics dedicated to a more grounded, less fantastic approach to comics. The original idea was the world outside your window and included real-time progress. The new universe has changed a lot in 2 years, and now we are hurtling towards 1989. The world knows about paranormals, and the U.S. government has started capturing and drafting them into the Army and CIA. Pittsburgh has been destroyed, forming the Pit, and creating new, sometimes twisted paranormals. Only a few issues remain for each surviving series, and they all seem to be headed towards war. With our podcast, you can follow along with us each week as we go through each remaining comic, in the order they hit the spinner rack, or just check out individual comics if you already have a favorite. I know I do.
Don't
I do
skip
it anyway.
Star Brand, even though it's tempting.
No, we promised ourselves every comic from the new universe. You can always find us over at kickersinc.com, where we potentially have fun stuff for you to look at or do. And we are also available at X at Kickers Inc., where we update you with the upcoming podcasts.
Right on. And this week we get back to a busy DP7, a saga filled with countless human beings and paranormals, countless paranormals who've been caught up in a world that is relentlessly drifting toward a bizarre and inexplicable future, right? And an election. The Marvel Age solicit for this was DP7 29, an assassin stalks the DP7 team. Who hired him, and why have the DP7 members been marked for death? The answers give a frightening new twist to the war raging in the new universe. Dead weight. It's written by Mark Gruenwald, penciled by Paul Ryan, inked by Danny Bulinotti. 32 pages, Mando paper, direct sales only, $1.50.
Deadweight sounds like something Sergeant Haldeman would be yelling at those troops all the time. Get up there, Deadweight. We ain't leaving you. You know, I was just watching an old cartoonist kayfabe talking about coloring and like these different styles of paper that started getting produced. And they mentioned Mando as one of like Baxter, Hudson, and Mando all came out at the same time. Mm. And then they didn't tell me anything
no
about
follow
Mando.
Up. Damn.
Nothing.
Unsubscribe.
Come on, I can't do that now. We will also be discussing what bonus features we have, which were the letters and maybe a little universe news, the timeline, yeah. I guess.
Which is still on like week one of the new universe.
People are still getting their powers, yeah. Yeah, I was kind of hoping for something to at least chart out the first year. My expectations are getting scaled back dramatically now.
Yep.
Anyway.
Yep. Maybe.
And now Andy does the heavy lifting for an hour and a half.
Quiet down, dead weight. So DP7 29, cover March 89, though it likely came out November 22nd, 1988. So still November. The cover has, you know, a smattering of our DP7 crew looking like they're in trouble, presumably.
I'm not quite
from
sure.
Deadweight.
Yeah, there's a antibody, but it looks like it's the mini antibody.
But yeah, so it's got like the backside of a guy with a trench coat and the neighborhood watch criminal hat, holding two guns. He's got a rifle and a pistol, and you've got like lines of psychic something or other coming from his head, and they're all like lying on the ground,
EP7
helpless.
takes a nap. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
And
got like a nice grid pattern on the floor, so you have like a nice perspective. Although it's kind of everything is kind of vague except for the characters.
right.
So
Yeah, I thought it was a nice cover. Dead weight.
gives you good action. Everyone's like pose is very dramatic, so.
Yeah. And so open up the page, and our splash page has the big title across, Dead Weight. And it's also like the COVID-19 pandemic. Like there's all these guys working outside wearing masks together and stuff.
Just, hey, 6 feet, Frankie. 6 feet. Come on. Back off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Actually, well, last time our I guess what we've got of the DP6 crew is together now. So like Randy and Dave and Jenny, Charlie, Stephanie, and Sponge finally got back together, but just as their CIA mission went haywire and Voight showed up and basically mind controlled them both to work for him, vote for him, and fight Randy and Dave almost to the death. And then he's just kind of walked off. He's like, N-uh-uh, not gonna mess with me.
Wasn't it? Yeah, a good day. He has a, like a much higher control of people somehow than he did before, and is he just yeah was happy to let them d continue watching him without go ahead, just don't tell anyone anything useful.
Right. It was give him the old, you are no longer a threat. But yeah, so we pick up in Lower Manhattan, November 1st, 1988. And yeah, Dave Landers is just carrying a piano, like he's carrying an empty storage tub tote, basically. And there's some mover guys out front with like some Jets and Yankees gear. But yeah, wearing masks, it had been hinted for a while and then mentioned a little more in this comic that like the volcanic ash and smoke from the pit is kind of downwind drifting and kind of ruining the atmosphere in New York City. But here it's getting a little bit more explicit.
Yeah, you're right that like it does the first thing you think of now is COVID, but the you caught that it was November 1st, right? Okay.
Yeah. Just about election time. But yeah, so Dave helps these guys out, and then they kind of do a little bit of recapping conversation with him to a degree. Like everybody's trying to move out, and some of the other guys have been sick, and they really appreciate his help, kind of thing. Hit us back up if you need a regular job. Dave kind of wanders off, again, kind of talking about it's raining all the time, hasn't been clear since January. Downwind of Mount Pittsburgh is no picnic. He says, but he's getting used to it. With Randy and me on the lam from the army, I can't think of a better place to hide out than a big, cold, impersonal metropolis like the Big Apple, or Rotten Apple, as the graffiti artists call it. Quite clever.
Booyah!
Quite clever.
That's what we called it in
Yeah.
Pittsburgh. Yeah, anyway.
But he walks by like a Voight sign and like the Voight storefront where they kind of had a throwdown before. And he's like, well, on the other hand, who knows what the city, the country, or even the world is going to be like after the election next week if Voight's elected. And he's thinking to himself, if Voight's elected and all the polls seem to be giving him the edge over Bush, what will happen with a paranormal in the nation's highest office? A very dangerous paranormal.
Hard to believe anyone could beat Bush. I was gonna say I don't think they ever sort of said anything, but I was kind of wondering if like the paranormals were more resistant to the atmospheric problems because none of the DP7 are wearing a mask.
True. They also haven't been there that long, maybe. That could be sort of it. That's what I'm
Also,
thinking.
yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, so Dave kind of gives his own recap then about how Voight almost had them murdered by their own friends, all the girls for the CIA. And then it turns out he's meeting Miriam because she's actually working in the office, working in Voight's campaign office. And so he's thinking, oh, CIA must really think she's clever getting a job in Voight's campaign headquarters so she can spy on him better. And he's thinking, actually, Voight offered her the job. So again, a little unusual. He's like, the CIA,
Apparently.
presidential campaigns, double agents. Who'd have thought a gang of hicks from Wisconsin would ever be mixed up in stuff like this?
Yeah, apparently the Bush campaign accused the Voight of being a Russian dupe, and so they put together a dossier and got the CIA to track him constantly. Crazy, I know. No, I'm
Like,
kidding.
no, actually, that's the Russian guy is the one that's the duplicated president. If they ever follow up on that thread, I wonder.
Reagan was paranormal. Gorbachev switched out for a paranormal. Voight getting voted in as a paranormal. So, yeah, I don't know. It's a lot going on.
Yeah, so Sponge comes walking out. In raincoat and umbrella, but still absorbs a bunch of water and goes from, as she puts it, size 5 to a size 16 just by walking across a rainy street. He's like, I'll shed this water weight when we get to the restaurant if you want. He's like, no, it's fine. However you're comfortable.
If you have to pee, you can just go back inside.
And I'm reading through the issue the first time, it was kind of okay. Reading through the second time, it's like, yeah, it feels a little rom-com-ish, like at least parts of it. And there's all these people kind of boy and girl interactions and going on dates and misunderstandings and that kind of stuff. But
That's a good, description of it.
yeah, but like Dave and her are walking. And he's like, how's the job? Voight been, has Voight come by lately or is he out campaigning? And she's like, oh, we'll head over to the village, find some place cozy. He's like, let's talk about something else, please. And he asks a couple times, but she just keeps wanting to change the subject, which I assume is because she can't talk about him. Like, either, I mean, she has the CIA job, but in my head, I'm assuming it's because she's been sort of brain controlled, like not to spy on him or something like that.
I think you're, yeah, there's something about that, but then there's her thought balloons about being concerned that he's just trolling for information about Stephanie, and she's kind of guarded about that as well. So, like you say, rom-com-ish with misunderstandings and crossed signals, possibly.
But I mean, they actually walk by Charlie, who's hanging out in the coffee shop across the street, and yeah, Dave's thinking, why do I take such delight in bringing up the one topic that makes her so squeamish? Perverse streak in me, I guess. So he's actually kind of actively giving her a hard time, I suppose. He's like, after she says, yeah, change the subject. She's like, oh, yeah, let's talk about Stephanie then. It's like, what happened to her husband? How come no one will tell me? Yeah, she's like, oh, Stephanie again? I thought the only reason he asked me out was to get information. It's like, but if I refuse to talk about her, he won't have any use for me whatsoever. Oh, no. It's like, darn you, David, why do you waste your time with that so-and-so when I could give you everything you need?
Truly like a romance comic cover blurb,
Right, even the look she's sort of giving him. And then Dave's thinking to himself, he's like, I don't want her to think I'm using her, but I don't want her to think I'm into her either.
Hey, asking her out was probably a bad move then, Dave. Just guessing there.
Yeah, so she pops into a telephone booth, right? Sign of the times kind of thing, to report into her CIA contact, but like doesn't like no one picks up, right? This it becomes more of a thread later, but she doesn't really want to talk about it, so he just kind of yells at her. He's like, geez, Mary, you're not working for the company anymore, you're working for Voight, come on, you can tell me. And she says, yeah, their controls private line didn't answer, so the person they're supposed to report to constantly hasn't picked up. And the line's always supposed to be open, so she tries it again, and she says, if you still don't get an answer, I'll get Jenny and have her check it out. And she ends with sort of, you and me, big guy, we've got a date. And he's like, right. He's on a reluctant date. Yeah, then they switch to, I guess, the apartment they're staying in, and it's got Randy in his, of course, antibody form, but wearing some pants, and Jenny Swenson, and Jenny's wearing like face makeup to make her skin, her face look skin tone, and she's putting some on Randy too.
Nice, normal, heterosexual day of
Right.
putting on makeup with the late girls. I gotta admit, I did not honestly remember anything else of this issue, but this like panel or two of Randy and Jenny putting on trying on makeup had like sort of stayed in my mind somehow. So this was familiar.
That's funny. That's the one part you remember.
What the heck?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But she's got him like half moon cookie, like, half of his face is kind of covered. But yeah, it's sort of interesting because, she at least, had like a little micro crush on him when they first met. But now, since then, like, she's gone full metallic and he has like blacked out antibody and like they've both, totally changed. And they even have like a little conversation about it. It's like how, well, she's wearing a Pit Aid sweatshirt, which I thought was kind of fun. But she's like, "How much can you feel underneath that thing?" And yeah, again, he's wearing this like goofy half makeup with like, clown blush on his cheek. He's like, "I haven't really noticed much loss of sensitivity. It's like the second skin's permeable. I can sweat through it. I still itch." And she says, "I can barely feel anything. You have to punch me practically before the nerve endings beneath my mock metal skin let me know I was being touched."
I
Like,
feel
bruh.
there's more going on here than meets the eye, and I'm not really sure I want to get too involved in. It's like she's soliciting him for some weird S&M thing. I don't know. There's a lot of subtext I could play with there, but let's just move on. I'm
For
sorry.
sure. Yeah. Well, she's just like, "Looks like I can rule out much of a love life," I'm assuming she was gonna say. But the phone rings, and it is Sponge calling after not being able to get in touch with the CIA. Randy's little tiny antibodies kind of fly in. But Jenny kind of says, "All right, well, I gotta step out. Company business. You'll have to put the rest of your face on yourself." He's like, "Can I come?" He's like, "Sorry, my superior would really frown on it." So we have like a trend of the girls, keeping the guys at a distance, like they're sort of in charge as the CIA operatives, and wanting to leave the guys behind.
Yeah, the guys are I mean, just unemployed army deserters, and the gals are all super secret agents, yeah.
No, kind of, sort of, right? But Randy sends one of his little micro antibodies off to kind of like follow her anyway. From there, we cut back to Charlie Beck, who's hanging out in the diner, and we get kind of her in the background and some, I don't know, dudes in leather jackets and fingerless gloves can never be up to any good, right?
Yeah, they're a couple of ne'er-do-wells, I
Yeah, so the
guess.
one guy's ordering coffee. He's like, "Quentin, man, check out the fox." So they're looking at her, and they like, so the two guys walk up to her and, "Yo, sweet thing, mind if we join you?" And she's thinking, "Oh, great." And she's like, "I do. I'm waiting for my boyfriend." Classic defense maneuver. But it doesn't work. Like, the one guy just like sits right in her booth, like arms around her. It's like, "Well, how about we just wait here with you? I'm sure your man won't mind. Name's Wilfredo, sweet thing. What's yours?" But of course, she has paranormal powers and at least some CIA combat training, even if she just kind of stuck to the walls a lot. So she kind of like grabs his thumb and kind of bends it back painfully, and then uses her friction power so he slides off. And then basically makes a run for it, thinking to herself, "These meat for brains won't take kindly to my challenges to their manhood. I better get out of here." But yeah, like, so as she's running off, the one guy grabs her by the leg, but of course she can go frictionless, and so Just zips right out. The guy loses his grip. And she's like, I'll glue these goons in place long enough to pay my tab. Don't want to get the management mad at me. I have to come here a lot. So she kind of sneaks out the door. And by the time the guys come running after her, saying, we don't want to hurt you. We just want to play patty cake all over your skinny bod. Okay. But as they hop out, looking at for her in the rain both ways, like she's gone. And we get a nice panel of like them kind of shouting for her. But we see her like stuck to the ceiling. So she Spider-Man climbed up. And she even referenced in Spider-Man. So the guys go running off another direction, but essentially she's lost them. And then she just, listlessly sits on top of the building thinking, what a life. I would love to chuck this whole stupid spy business and get into what I really want to do. Dancing.
Dancing.
Dancing. Don't we all? New York may be the grimiest city in America, but it's still the theater capital of the nation. So many opportunities for me once I get my life back under control.
This is another romance comic moment. It's pretty nice.
Good luck, Charlie. You only got a couple issues left.
Yeah, I think it's hard for me to imagine that like a city where everyone is fleeing as fast as they can is going to maintain a healthy theater district, but okay, I guess.
Yeah, man.
It kind of amused me. The interaction with the guys in the coffee shop was kind of amusing. There was like a trend of young women doing like taking a GoPro around like walking the streets of New York or something and
Right, for like
filming.
filming the weirdos
Yeah,
catcalling
it took some like racist later to point out that those were entirely like, ethnic minorities doing the cat calls.
them.
It's like, oh, okay. Yeah, the what should I say? I better get myself a Spider-Man costume. Well, that's what we've been saying. I don't know. You do it.
Well, I think this might be the first time she climbed a wall kind of like that,
I think, yeah, she's just jumped up. She was like several stories above them this time. So yeah, she had walked up there somehow.
right? Lionel Richie style. So we cut to 12 blocks south, and Stephanie with her kids, and the kids still remember Dave Landers as the one who tried to kill their dad. I was like, he's a nice man. He didn't mean to hurt your father that time. Issue 7. But yeah, she's basically just kind of walking home with the kids. The kids are unhappy. When do we go back home? There's nobody to play with. I don't have any of my stuff, right? Even the crappy camp was better than this. But as they're walking and talking, and she's trying to assuage them, like all of a sudden she starts feeling funny. She's like, Mom, what's wrong? And you can just kind of see like some force lines around her. She's still kind of sparkling, but she's kind of slowly crumples down to the ground, thinking to herself, what's happening to me? It feels like I weigh tons trying to fight, but can't. Must speak slowly. So
Feels like
basically
kids
she's
are,
like,
yeah.
yeah, so she's pancaked on the ground, like face down, with cracks coming out of the sidewalk, like she's being crushed. And the kids are all around, not knowing what to do. But Randy swoops in, hilariously, in like, no shoes, but pants, like a stripy shirt, right? But his antibody hands hanging out, and then like full face makeup that's kind of melting off in the rain.
Hey, kids. Yeah.
Right. Not scary at all. Yeah, he looks totally weird, but he kind of stops over with her, trying to figure out what's going on. Again, he's kind of seeing the cracks, and she's like, I can't breathe. I think I'm having a heart attack. So he yells for the kids to go inside, and they get started. So I guess they're just outside the apartment. And he's thinking to himself, this looks like the work of a paranormal. Whoever it is must be somewhere nearby. And we had even seen, like in the foreground of one of the shots, like hands on a rifle. It's like so many windows in the building across the street. Somebody there? Stephanie looking up at him, just feeling horrible, like, oh, I feel like I'm gonna die. Says, relax, Steffi. Trying to fight it will only make it worse. The kids get inside, and the guy from the other side basically takes a shot at him. And so the bullet actually goes right through Randy's shoulder, and it looks kind of like it glances off Stephanie's face, but it's kind of hard to tell. It kind of
Yeah, they're
keeps
separate.
traveling, but it didn't, from panel composition, it doesn't look like it. Doesn't look like it literally like blew a hole in her head or anything, but
Yeah,
still.
it hit the side that's away from us, the reader, so it looks, yes. But yeah, it goes right through Randy, and I know the antibodies could go through things, but I thought they, and I was like surprised that it offered no protection like that. I don't know.
So I'm not sure what his powers are when he's coded, really. Though I guess he can fly, but that's all we really kind of know. Maybe he can turn on the ability to be sort of immaterial, I suppose, but we don't know. But anyway, he's like, "I've been shot, I've been shot," and he sends out all like six of his little antibodies. He's like, fly around and find the guy. And we only see the back of the guy who took the shot, and he's like, "What the?" It's like little flying men coming this way. So he leaves the gun, puts on his hat and coat, and basically just kind of takes off running. Randy's is a doctor, but he's like, "Oh, Steffi, so much blood! I got to get you to the hospital." So he can lift her. Like the power is gone. He's still got a hole in his shoulder, essentially, but decides he's got to get her to a hospital. And then we get some nice panels of the antibodies like flying through the building across the street, like through people's apartments, like an old lady swinging at one with a broom, and there's a woman in the bathtub. It actually flies past the shooter, but the antibodies and Randy don't really know what he looked like. So he's like, "Oh, I had to ditch the gun. But no way these little flying men can connect it with me." And the little guys do find the room and the gun lying there. And it takes three of them, but they basically fly off with it. So they're armed.
Yeah, the sniper is very like nonchalant about all these weird powers being used is also a clue, I guess.
And he's out. He it gets to the point where like he's outside the building and sees Randy taking off flying with Stephanie, and he's thinking, "There's my quarry. The man I accidentally hit is flying her away. Must be another paranormal, right?" So he was trying to kill Stephanie. Didn't really care about Randy. Says, "Could care less about him, but I can't tell if I iced the Harrington woman or not. Should I try to bring him down with breath?"
Chuck must have hired him. I know it.
Could be.
I've solved the mystery. Never
Yeah,
mind.
well, except for the next panel. He's
Oh.
like, "Last thing I want to do is get into a fight on the street with a paranormal whose powers I know little about. And if Harrington's fellow agents came along, I've totally lost the element of surprise. Better to let them go. After I nail the others, I can make it certain I've terminated her." So he's looking to kill all the CIA ladies. Sorry.
It's all his dialogue is in Russian. You see, he's a Russian paranormal from the Red Sun.
Nope.
Come
Those guys are
on,
hopelessly
come
incompetent,
on,
remember?
dang, come on, man, give me a break here.
So Randy flies off, but then basically lands in an alley. Like he's gassed and tired from being shot. He's like, "Don't let me." Ugh. So he falls into a pile of trash bags with Stephanie on top of him, notably still glittering. So, a little clue that perhaps her healing power is still working, which might be really
Oh.
useful right about now.
Oh, what a relief. We're so lucky they could find some garbage bags in New York City. I never see those. And
Good thing they weren't filled with like toasters or something.
used syringes, I don't know.
So then, well, funky looking Randy with his makeup finally washed off is out of the picture. But then, strange looking Jenny Swenson comes running in again, like green trench coat, brown wide brim hat.
Why did you steal Lenore's clothes? She was dead. There was nothing I could do.
Terrible clown makeup. But she comes walking up, and the kids see her from the window and start screaming for their mom. It's like, what's the matter? It's like, mom fell down by the door, and that guy came in and told us to go inside. And the little girl's like, tell her about the little black men who brought in the gun, Benji. He's like, don't move. She's like, this could be have something to do with our controls disappearance. She's thinking, I checked out her place. There's no sign that the person had even stayed there. So she goes up, and all the kids run and hug her. It's like, where's our mom? Where's our mom? Of course, she's sort of, trying to figure out what in the world's going on. She's like, I don't know. Like, what's this about her falling? Was she sick? And the kids
Boy.
kind of fill her in. The one girl again, makes sure she says, Ben, the gun. He's like, no, like he doesn't want to tell her that they got a gun. And but they do find it pointed out. He's like, oh yeah, three of those little flying black things flew that rifle in through the window and then took off. Yeah, like the kid was pretty attached to the gun. I think he was hoping to save it.
Gun? I didn't see any gun. What's that under your bed,
You
Benji? Nothing. It's just a
talking
toy. Yeah, it's an interesting like thing because she's kind of stuck there with the kids. Yeah.
Yeah. And she's like, I don't like lying to him, but what else can I say to keep them to calm down? And she's like, yeah, just telling the kids, your mother's gonna be all right. Nothing happened to her. She probably just had to go somewhere with Randy. Like, we'll be fine. One of the little antibodies kind of flies up to her, presumably, trying to give her some information or something, or maybe do like the touch transfer, but she just kind of like scares it off. She's like, I don't know why you're hanging around here, but I'm glad you are. Go find your master and Stephanie. And it sort of hesitates. It says, no, go find them. It gets like a little frowny face thing. She basically has to yell at it to make it go away, which, maybe not the best move. Maybe it was trying to help something.
Well, this is it's interesting pre whatever 2000 life without cell phones and how difficult it is to like coordinate even amongst like a small group of people who maybe even live together, but like a couple of them will be over here, a couple over there, and you're like, where is everyone? I don't know. What's going on? I don't know. That was plus the like emoji that the antibodies try to communicate with. It always feels like they'll a couple years ahead of their time, but anyway.
So I guess from there, like the phone rings and it's Charlie calling home. Jenny can kind of fill her in. So at least, more of the squad kind of knows what's going on. But then, yeah, she's got like three kids on mattresses on the floor, like laying in their pajamas, but looking terrified, of course, wondering what the heck's going on. And she's like, no, that was Aunt Charlie. What story should I read you tonight? I think we want mommy, which just feels pretty realistic, honestly. So Charlie was walking back again, kind of raining, there's trash everywhere, thinking to herself, she's just trying to figure out what in the world Jenny was saying, because it was hard to figure out with the kids screaming in the background. She's like, oh, all of a sudden everyone looks suspicious to me. I think I'll run the rest of the way. And as it turns out, like with the white wide brim hat being kind of recognizable, our shooter guy is kind of hanging out in the street nearby, waiting to get the drop on her too. He's like, ah, that makes two of the targets inside, Swenson and now Beck. Assuming that Harrington is at least wounded, that only leaves Swenson. He says Swenson, but he means Miriam.
Sorensen,
Unac
right? Yeah, it
unaccounted
took
for,
me a
yeah.
minute on that one too.
So yeah, we get a nice panel of Charlie going in the building and the shooter, kind of stalking behind with a gun. No sense gambling on getting all three in one place at the same time. I'll nail these babes. then I'll wait for the third to show. It's like, once I kill Swenson and Swenson, then Swenson's really gonna get it.
Man,
Anyways,
who's that behind me? Is it Swenson?
another. No, it's my cousin Swenson. But yeah, so Charlie makes it up. And so Jenny, Charlie, and the kids are all up in the apartment. Randy and Stephanie are down for the count. And then I guess Dave and Miriam are still on their date, so we're not sure exactly where they are. And there's a guy in outside. And I think, yeah, it's actually the trash picking guy. You can kind of see through the window because the killer is stalking his way up there. So yeah, they kind of feel each other in. Jenny's ready to rush out the door. Charlie's thinking, I don't want to be alone here. Let's wait till Dave and Mary come back. So Miriam, she's got a new shortened nickname, I guess. And it's like, well, probably would have been smart to stick together, actually. But it turns out not really doesn't really matter. So as she's opens the door, the shooter is right there, like just standing right in the doorway. He's like, this place is the safest you could be. It's like, J -j 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 -j. And then he's
This
there.
is nice, but didn't they just do this gag last month with Voight? Like they open the door and there's Voight or something?
He kind of popped out, like he walked in on them.
Oh, yeah, okay.
So I guess it's a little different.
Like, is this a running gag? Like, every DP7 is always opening the door to the bad guy. And, come
Well,
on in. So, what?
if it happens a third time, I'm going to say yeah, but we'll give him the benefit of like two different situations here. But anyway, the guy's like, "Evening, ladies. The name's Deadweight." And then we can see those like force lines coming out from him as like they both of them get like crumpled to the ground. Feeling a little heavy, are we, Swenson? I wouldn't worry in a moment. You won't feel anything. You hear it, cocking his gun. So she kind of holds up, stands up to it a little bit more than Stephanie did, which is interesting because they're both kind of like super strong. She's like, shoot, got to. But she ends up basically like falling through the floor. So Jenny crashes all the way through the floor into the lower apartment, which looks like an artist's studio. And Deadweight puts a couple of bullets, three bullets into her back. He's like, nice try, but I still have you pinned. And then he turns towards Charlie. He's like, no, don't shoot. He's like, now close your pretty eyes. And when you open them again, you'll be wearing a halo and wings. I'm like, oh, this guy's got a lot of lines. But she's got some pretty useful power. So, she slipperizes the floor. Like the whole floor, so they both kind of slip and fall down, so that kind of like disconnects his power a little bit. And then she's like, oh man, the floor is not quite level, so she ends up sliding towards him and basically like kicking him into the hole down where Jenny was, which is lucky. Whereas she, instead of falling all the way in, reverses her power and kind of grabs on, so she's hanging over the hole, hanging over the edge of the hole that they made in the floor, about to fall into the other apartment. And Deadweight actually fell like right into Jenny, so she's been able to grab him as Charlie hops down, but then twists her ankle on the way down. So bye bye dancing.
Oh no, I didn't think that, about that, but you're that could be.
Yeah, but I don't think she's hurt that bad, but it just seemed about right.
The high school guy who was gonna be an all-star, and then he was like one little twist of his ankle, and it's always.
Right. So you get kind of the standoff where the guy's like crawling to try and grab his gun, or like Jenny's on top of him, because she's made of metal. So, like, it was a reasonable bet that the bullets weren't going to kill her. It's like, I can't dead weight her while she's on top of me. But then he sort of reaches for his gun. And then honestly, like, you don't really get a good view of like what happened, but he kind of like slips out of her grasp. He thinks to himself, she rolled off when I swung my piece around. But I don't know. That this the transition is kind of weird. Either way, he kind of gets out of it and then hammers them both to the floor, and he's got his gun right up to Jenny's head. He's like, your metal skin might be pretty bulletproof, but what about a point blank slug to your, and again, a doorway. He doesn't get to finish that sentence. As Dave smashes his way through the door, Dave sponged behind him and one of the little antibodies. It's like,
Oh, yeah.
pull that trigger and I'll mangle you. So yeah, he's kind of like holding Jenny helpless by her head or her metal hair, looking like he's about ready to unload on her. But then, so Charlie jams up the gun with her friction powers, something she learned to do. And yeah, so like Lander starts coming at him. Deadweight can use his power on him, but it's kind of like he's really fighting his way through it. So like Dave's really forcing it, and he's down on the ground, like struggling slowly, thinking to himself how difficult it is, and how, I'm not getting weaker. The gravity's getting stronger, and like the ground's cracking. He's kind of forcing his way closer and closer and closer. And by the end, he's like, heart pounding, fit to burst, gotta lift my arms, let it drop on him, must weigh 1,000 pounds. And the guy's just taken aback. Can almost, can't do anything. But as he's backing up, backing up, backing up, we get a pow, a shot, and everybody's confused. But it's the little kid. Oh, shoot, what was his name? I didn't write it down.
Ben,
Benji,
Benji.
Ben. Yeah. With the rifle in hand, saying, got him. So little Ben really did really want to use that gun.
Chekhov's rifle. All right.
I guess, though it wasn't like in the background because he was actually using it to try and assassinate them in the first place.
Yeah, okay. But I mean, it did like logically sort of there was a progression of like the rifle being used and then being taken and then being with the kids and now being available for the kids.
Right.
Oh, anyway.
But anyway, like with the gunshot, then his powers kind of go away. And sort of the struggle is over at this point. His gravity effect is gone. And Jenny starts questioning him. He's like, okay, dog meat, spill it. Who sent you here to kill us? Unless you want to bleed to death, start talking. He's like, don't know real name, given code name Lilac. Truth, I swear.
It's, I don't know, yeah.
But yeah, and he doesn't know where Stephanie or Randy are because they were gone after he tried shooting them. So they're still kind of worried. But they don't get mu too much out of the guy. They cut to a half hour later, again thinking of last issue. Look at this beautifully drawn ambulance, or was it 2 issues ago with Justin? Look, it's nicely detailed ambulance that looks like a real vehicle.
Yeah, three dimensional. It's on a street and everything. Yeah, nice.
Yeah. So basically,
Well, to be honest, it looks like a U-Haul.
it does look like a U-Haul, but I guess it looks like a
Good.
real, honest to goodness vehicle. I was impressed. Anyway, we get the impression they've been kind of looking for them or having the antibodies look for them. You'd think they would know like how to find him, I guess, but as they're
Well,
loading
yeah, you would
dead.
think the antibodies would be like home in on Dave or
Yeah,
Randy
and
and be
Randy,
like,
yeah.
but
But as they're loading dead weight into the ambulance, we get a hey, and they're all right. So, Randy flies in and Stephanie, kind of lands and they're perfectly fine. And yeah, so it really was kind of what I was imagining would happen, So yeah, he was shot and she was hurt too, but he passed out on top of her. So she was going to heal herself eventually anyway. But since he was on top, then they both got healed. So I guess that's about it for that. So talking ensues after a while and kind of explaining what happened. I was obviously a contract killer of some kind, but we don't really know how. Jenny's thinking, yeah, I have a nagging feeling this is all connected with our control's disappearance. By this time tomorrow night, if I'm gonna get some answers, even if I have to go to CIA headquarters and bust a few heads. I'm just thinking, Lilac.
Lilac.
I don't know that there
Definitely, it's got
was.
to be the most macho like dude possible,
Right.
Mental Lilac.
Randy Savage.
You want me to do the epilogue?
Oh,
Oh boy.
sure.
Okay, epilogue. We get like the main story was 24 pages, so we've got a quick, it's not a backup story, but it's separated from the main narrative. They say 42nd Street a day later. And I gotta say, Got to be a typo because it's got to be a week later, right? Because Election Day, they
Yeah, that's
run
got to
November
be
1st
right.
is
We find
November.
that why that explains itself later.
So we 42nd Street, for those of you who weren't in the New York City in the 80s, was, I guess, Times Square, where there was like skeevy porno theaters on every corner.
Right, I guess
And
so. Nope.
apparently the whatever noxious fumes from the pit did not dissuade the purveyors of that particular art form. We have a street scene with a couple of theater marquees, I guess. One has the title playing a movie called Liquid Assets. It says it is Triple X cinema. And the next attraction is Bongo Babes. Babes, babes, babes.
Liquid Assets, as I did find out, is in fact a real movie.
Amazing. Amazing. I have
My
not.
research says it's probably not worth watching.
I don't know. They're like
It's very
late
70s,
70s, 80s. I mean,
too.
that's a fun time. They still had some sort of production values. And I
Yeah.
don't know. If you liked Boogie Nights, I guess it's that time period.
Yeah. A thin Ron Jeremy is in it, which is weird.
Okay. I did not find a movie called Bongo Babes. There was a butt Bongo Babe or something, but there's limits to how much I'm going to spend on this. So some shadowy figure in hat and coat is saying one please and getting a ticket for $6. Goes inside. Wonder if he could have chosen a more unsavory place to meet. Probably the only woman in the place. So sneaking in the back row, we have in the closer to the screen, we've got a couple of anonymous people, one of whom looks like Mark Gruenwald, but it really could be M Howard Mackey also, or
Right.
any Marvel staffer who are all like
Right.
bearded dudes with glasses. The see, movie is saying, "Oh baby, yeah, right there, yeah." And someone is
Guess they're going in, I guess she went into Bongo Babes.
I guess well, no, they said that's next. So I was thinking Liquid Assets was
Oh,
playing
okay,
now
yeah.
and Bongo was coming later.
I thought it was two theaters, but yeah, I guess it's the same one.
Maybe we could both be wrong. We will have to go back and do more research on Liquid Assets. Look, it's part of the new universe. We have to no, yeah. There's a male figure with maybe sunglasses is saying, "Watch it, all the seats in the back row have squeaky springs." And this is Jenny in her like hat and coat disguise. "That's the code phrase. That's Wade, right on time." Now, do you remember Wade?
I don't remember Wade.
It took me a while, but this Wade was the judo instructor at the CIA.
Oh, okay.
But the thing was, he was flipping Stephanie or Lenore around. So Jenny and him hadn't met at the time,
Least not on panel, yeah. I
later.
thought in the dark he looks like Suicide Smythe, like the Kickers Inc. guy.
Oh, you're right. You're right. I was thinking Power Man, but yeah, that's Suicide also. So anyway, she continues. "Thanks for meeting me, Wade. So what's the story? What happened to our control? What do you know about a freelance named Deadweight?" So most of what we get is the sort of close-ups of the two of them talking, and then a few sort of flashes of sort of illustrating the story. And he says, "What I found out, the four of you have been cut loose and your assignment to keep tabs on the candidate aborted." What? "I'm not saying you messed up, but the candidate found out about you, possibly by paranormal means." Jenny thinks to herself, "You can say that again. Philip Nolan Voigt confronted us and did something to our heads to make us incapable of betraying him." Wade continues, "And he had his secret servicemen call the company to say that he had reason to believe he was being spied upon. They then denied everything in the media and published a lot of things saying what a crazy person the candidate was. But somehow that didn't get everyone off their back. Anyway, they then mentioned you people and your controls, Dobish, Mathy, and Bertolucci. And I think Mathy was Mankey before. But anyway. The front office denied it all, of course, and after disavowing any knowledge of you ladies, packed your controls off to South America.
Oh man.
Oh, you're down fighting the Fam'll Leech
That's
on
where
your own now.
the
The whole continent's going to be a
family
pulsating blob by the time you get there. Anyway, the matter seemed settled when they sent the appropriate falsified documents to the candidate's people, but it wasn't. Now it appears Irene Dobish did not take her relocation orders very well. You're relocating me to where? Denver? No way, man. No
yeah.
way.
Nobody's going to that hellhole.
Having had so much of her career advancement tied up in the paranormal program, so from the airport, she apparently contacted and hired this singleton, Deadweight. So we had seen a little illo of her. We remember Ms. Dobish, that's their CIA, boss, making a phone from a phone booth. So anyway, he's like wrapping up. So she hired this guy, Deadweight, whose assignment was to terminate the four of you. Jenny thinks there was always something, Dobish always had something screwed on too tight. Howard Mackey yells at them to pipe down because he can't hear the picture.
There was a lot of people in the lobby, but not very many people in the theater.
Yeah, maybe if there was two theaters, like you were saying, well, that would make more sense. But anyway.
A porno multiplex would be pretty impressive.
Jenny continues that we beat Deadweight. He's at Bellevue, but what's going to prevent her from sending someone else after us? And Wade says, well, if she diverted company funds to pay him, we can prove that she'll be prosecuted. He'll be prosecuted. No, she'll be prosecuted. It's like, really? You have to like have the accountants go through her books and make sure she wasn't, she was paying the assassin off the right.
Hiring an assassin, no big deal. Using our company money to hire an assassin, no.
It's, actually, there was a professor at one school I was at who was basically he was addicted to drugs, and they busted him not for like using them or whatever, but like paying off his grants to like get the drugs sent to him. So
Dang.
it was unfortunate.
He was a good enough
Anyway,
scientist, he could have just made his own.
exactly.
Right?
Very good.
Slacker.
So yeah, she says, well, if that happens, she'd have all the more reason to come after us. Espionage really stinks, you know that? He's like, yeah, sorry about that. Anyway, thanks for going out of your way to tell me the score. Hope you won't get in trouble for this. I won't. Who are you, Wade? I don't know. Anyway, aren't you going to stay to watch the movie with me? No, thanks. So that's that. No goodbye, no thank yous, no severance pay. We're just cut loose without a word. Okay, so pretty crappy CIA program, but that's kind of jibes with what Jenny's experienced with the CIA before, so okay.
Right. Dump them unprepared against a giant flesh blob.
So this next bit though, she's like, what now what? What's a weird paranormal as weird looking as me gonna do for a living now? Jenny, you have a PhD from like every top school. You were an engineering professor at MIT.
Nope, that was the other book. If she only just listened to her actual father instead of like the animated VHS version of her evil father. Trust the CIA, they will help you.
One more thing I was thinking, in case you still don't want to work for Mr. Roth.
Help them bomb the brown people.
She thinks maybe I'll find something. Maybe the job skills that the CIA taught me will come in handy, unlike the PhDs you got from Stanford. So what'll we tell the others? And as she's walked past the newsstand, she sees the headlines. Voight elected by landslide vote. That figures. Ballots dumped off in the middle of the night? What? I mean, she's gonna get some folks together. I imagine Voight compelled a lot of people to vote for him, same way he compelled us not to say anything about him. A paranormal in the White House, and no one can ever know. I sure can't tell him. I wonder, with Voight at the w helm, maybe war can be averted. Maybe paranormals will stop being drafted. Maybe a paranormal rights bill will be passed? She tosses the paper in the trash. But I doubt it. And there's a hand picking up the newspaper she just tossed in there. The hand is weird and.
This looks like it's either like mummified or like wrapped in bandages, kind of.
I honestly, yeah, because it's got something on the knuckles that I was like, is that eyes? Looks
I was
weird.
thinking mutated, maybe.
Yeah, that's why I was thinking that, yeah, the eyes, but. Okay, whatever. It could be Mutator. We know he was in New York City at some point not too long ago. And there you go, the end. By the way, this epilogue is the only thing I've seen in DP7, which I would say was not penciled by Paul Ryan. Your
Oh.
thoughts?
Well, I mean, is anybody else credited? Yeah, just definitely doesn't look like his style.
It's yeah, the style on the faces is seems significantly different,
Yeah, it's uncredited though, so.
but I don't see a credit either. Yeah,
That's
strange.
interesting.
It's good, but I just it looks distinct.
Yeah, I guess so. I didn't even kind of pick up on that. So it didn't stand out too much, but with a quick second glance, for sure. Yeah, it looks different.
See what I'm saying? Yeah, all right. Well, let's see. Before we dig into anything in the back end, what do we think?
Yeah, this felt average, I guess. Like, I mean, it has all the elements of a good story, and I did kind of like the little tidbits of like romancy stuff, but I don't know, like there was a lot of this one's coming here, then this one's coming here, and we got to explain it. And like the action scene maybe wasn't amazing. I don't know. Like, there's nothing really wrong with it. It's just nothing blew me away or like got me excited. And even the end, like where you kind of explain that like the CIA has ditched them, it doesn't lead me like, oh crap, what's going to happen next? Right. I guess we have the election, but that still feels kind of like background information to a degree, not necessarily like something they're going to deal with directly in the story. So I don't know. It's kind of like a one and done.
I think for me, I'm feeling kind of rushed in this, with like the plot elements being sort of moved through, Dave and Randy out of the army, girls out of the CIA, that's
Right.
Voight into the White House, and like that, that they, I know they had, there was some warning that they were going to New York and exist there, but we're kind of churning through the plot points a little faster than I expect. I don't know,
Yeah.
but it has I mean, it's all a very solid story. There's action, powers, like you say, romance, a lot of fun stuff going on. Few, I don't know. What the heck's this? A dead
Yeah, I
weight.
guess like it doesn't give you enough time to make like the little moments more fun, I guess, like the conversation with Dave and Miriam, or like the makeup time with Jenny and Randy kind of stuff, or like talking about how one can feel and one can't, like if they had a little
Yeah.
bit more space to kind of expand on that a little bit, or what they were thinking, like that might have been more fun.
Yeah. Still, I think it maintains its consistent quality level. It's should I feel like it, Deadweight is probably modeled on some actor that I can't remember. He has like a Western look to him, like you know what I mean? So,
Yeah, I don't know. Or is that just, yeah, he looks like a bad guy.
he does. I can't think of it. But yeah, the superlative, not really that either. Yeah, so
Yeah.
okay.
It's kind of like big things going on in all the other books, right? Like whether the quality is the same or not. Like, it's like showdown in Siberia and crossovers and like everybody's waking up and killing Russians and, trying to
That's true.
fix the pit and stuff. So there's like huge things going on in some of the other books, whereas this feels, yeah, they're just shuffling along a little bit. But yeah, I mean, I think we figure they know it's ending at this point,
Pretty
right?
sure, yeah.
So
The
yeah, I mean,
time is weighing on them heavily.
and Gruenwald Ryan might have been the only ones that had like lots of plans kind of going forward,
Yeah, I
perhaps
can
that they're hoping
imagine.
to kind of wrap up, but
Yeah, I mean, yeah, a mission or two seems pretty brief, and like we didn't get much with the guys in the army either.
right.
I don't know what how the war, what we've talked about before, how that plays out is going to be. I hadn't really ever noticed like stuff leading into the war. Is it my like memory of reading this before? So
Right.
it
Yeah.
seems like we see a lot of it now. Yeah, when you know to look for it. But anyway, okay. Well, it is definitely Nukin, I would
It's
say.
definitely Nukin. Yeah.
Is it a B plus? Is it an A minus?
I would say B plus, but
Okay.
I needed some more romance.
Yeah. Between who and what?
Doesn't
Well.
matter. Take anything at this point. The next issue panel is pretty interesting, though.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, apparently there's a pride parade in the New York, the new universe. Very progressive. Some glammed up person is no, I don't know. Next issue, issue 30, introducing Captain Manhattan. Probably I don't know. I always saw a lot of chatter about Captain Manhattan over at the Facebook fan page, so I don't really remember.
Yeah, I mean, I went back one more time and looked at it, what I thought was an innocuous comment, and it's still got another spoiler in it. I'm like, I gotta stop. Yeah,
We are so close to the end. Why would you stop? Anyway.
Captain
Yeah, the cover.
Manhattan's pretty weird looking. He's got like the Captain America like boot top pauldrons or whatever you call those things. Like a
I
weird
don't
cape, a
know.
big M, like a wrestler belt with an apple. It's pretty cheesy looking.
It is the most yeah, wrestler meets cosplay thing ever.
I've
It's
definitely
like
never have no clue what the character is, but my guess is going to be some kind of paranormal who just is like a little weird and going for the superhero thing.
yeah, I have a vague memory, but well, I don't want to go into it until we get there, but you know what? It also reminded me of something from Savage Dragon. I don't think this is the right story, but like there was a Mighty Man or something who is like this big Superman looking dude
Yeah.
who'd fly around, but then it was like, or I should say it's like Captain Marvel or Shazam, because then it would just like zap into their real life, which was like a petite female nurse or something. And I don't know, there's something about Captain Manhattan that looks like that as well. Like it's a complete like
Yeah.
fake persona that
Shame.
you created. I don't know. Anyway. The like skyline's nice, the Chrysler Building and Empire State. That's it. Let me see. Paranor Mail, or as I like to call it, Mail to DP7.
Letters to DP7.
Oh, sorry. There's several. I'm going to go back someday and count up how many books actually had letter columns, because it feels like DP7's almost the only one that bothered, like
There's
nine
not
out of ten
much.
times.
There's that one way back when Spitfire and the Troubleshooters won, where they got real excited about teasing death.
No one's ever topped that one, yeah.
Well, there
How's
was the guy who...
DP7 looking? Everyone's gonna die soon. Are you ready
Yeah.
to die? Because I think there'll be some death.
Hey, there was the guy who coined the term "don't throw away the duck," though. You
That
gotta give
is
that credit.
true. Yeah, and we had those great contests, which we keep trying to have contests, but okay, never
Nobody
mind.
wants our contests.
Our contests are uninterested. So the there's a couple of people who have suggestions of why Jenny's bonded to Chrome now. So I see the first one says, "Ask you ask a lot of questions, as you've seen." So still too early to see what happens to Chuck, but I like your theory about the mutagenic effects of pit juice. Where are the other troubleshooters and kickers? Ms. Newhouse and Dr. Semple? We don't know. Oh, come on, man. As for the woodsman and pit bull, we had asked for more of. We'll take it under advisement, pal. Ooh, okay.
Yeah, because he said, what happened to the troubleshooter survivors of Spitfire number 7, and where are the other kickers?
These are the questions we
The
all
world
ask.
wants to know. I have a feeling we're never going to know, and thus the sadness.
Yeah, the next one has some more questions about a lot has happened to the new you, and thank the good Lord that I did not live in Pittsburgh. Oh, well, okay. Screw
Womp
this guy. I'm not going to read any more of his letter.
womp.
And there's a let's see, there's no more. He does ask for more books, like a one called How About Making a Bookshelf Comic Called The White Event? Like a prequel to the new universe.
This could be your guide, though, because he asked about an official handbook for the Marvel New Universe, right?
This is true. I've been working on that for a while now. And so he wants more new you comics, not too many. A new you handbook, a white event bookshelf novel, and a DP comic that doesn't DP7 comic that doesn't appear as jumbled as it is now.
Think you can handle it, Howie?
Ow. So he says Howard says there's nothing we'd like more than add a few more titles to the new universe checklist, but right now our energies are being taxed to the max, keeping the four surviving titles afloat. We're in choppy waters sales-wise, we're sad to report. Tell your friends to get on the stick and help us hold the line sales-wise or the new you won't be here much longer. As for our new bookshelf formats, The War in its 4-issue splendor will be heading your way at last in early 89, but we have no firm plans for any bookshelf books beyond that. The White Event book is an interesting one, though. New Universe Handbook, no plans just yet. And, your point about the fragmented nature of the narrative is well taken. That's what everyone wants now. I don't know.
I don't think there's ever been a comic book that has survived discussion about poor sales.
Yeah, it's never like, a couple months ago we were worried, but then you guys started buying so many more, and now we're guaranteed through the end of the year. I mean, nothing lasts forever, but we've got how Steph's healing worked, if she's fighting someone and isn't she just hitting them and making them better every time she hits them? They say no.
No.
And we've got three of the original. Someone asking, where everyone is. Jeff, Scuzz, and Lenore have all left, but one of those three will be back in number 31. Place your bets now. Miriam and Jenny are definitely in the picture, though. And but they, should we take the 7 out of the logo? Because the number is just, doesn't mean anything to them. They also wanted George Mulaney, aka Mutator, to have more control over his power. And my favorite so far at the end, because no one had mentioned the Now universe for like a year here, but so
No.
far the responses to changing the name of the new you has been poor. So it looks like we'll be keeping it new for some time to come. Nuke on, new unifiles.
I remember back in the day when you were trying to make the now thing happen.
Well, it was the first, it was the new universe, and then it was the now universe, and
Right.
then both of those kind of dialed back.
Fizzled. Yeah.
Sorry.
That seems like whether Jeff, Scuzz, or Lenore comes back. Definitely not Lenore. I mean, Scuzz would make the most sense.
If I think he was alive at the in the car, so
I don't think they ever really showed, but
I thought he was one of the ones that was being carried out like in one piece, so
yeah.
he was on a stretcher or
Oh,
something. But
dear. I almost don't want to know what happened to all those kids at that rate. Kid parts.
yeah, I mean, I don't know. Speaking of like how many paranormals are there, Deadweight, shouldn't he be in the CIA or drafted or something? How do you like have like lone gunman guys when we went through a whole year of like every paranormal has to report for duty? There's
Well, maybe he was outside of the country and then he came to the States to do the job.
Canadian paranormal. Interesting.
Could be. Could
Sneaky.
be.
That's what. let's see. Anything else we got? We can hold off on the official timeline, which just gives us more things. Events from August 23rd to September 23rd, 1986. Oh,
Yeah, a whole lot of nothing.
I don't know. Well, maybe I should say that's it for this week's episode. Next time the new universe checks in on the overprotective father, justice.
Justice 29, deep in the frozen wastelands of Siberia, Justice and the Medusa Web must battle their way to the headquarters of the top secret Siberian project. Wait, didn't we already do that? If they don't make it, Psi-Force is doomed. Written by Peter David, illustrated by probably not Lee Weeks. Direct sales only, $1.50. No mention of paper quality.
I can only, it's one of those things where you're kind of in the middle of this big crossover, and I don't know, everything's out of sync.
Yeah, I'm hoping that they're not giving us the issue that I was hoping we weren't getting of like, all right, the whole same story over again, but from Justice's perspective.
I want to see Justice kicking ass, as like the baddest dude in the new you, like he's supposed to be. Anyway.
We'll see.
Once again, our website, kickersinc.com. You can always email us at newuniversepodcast@gmail.com. This has been the voice of the new universe, and we will see you back at the spinner rack.
It's your universe, idiot.
It was only supposed to make a buzzing noise.
I think you should read this next one because I got it the last time.
Well, I'd love to chuck this whole stupid spy business and get into what I really want to do. Dancing.
Dancing. Hey, Mom, know what? I shot a gun. Woo.